Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you to all my brothers and sisters, all our family and friends out there, all our listeners. I would like to greet you in the name of Christ, the risen Savior, and I would like to welcome you once again to another show, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. I'm so honored and blessed that you have taken your time and consideration and you directed it toward these airwaves, toward these virtual airwaves, so that we might be able to have this dialect. Today we're actually dealing with a very interesting subject. We're going to be talking about Independence Day. Before I go a little bit further, I just want to open up with a quick prayer. Wherever you are, if you can just allow your mind to just open up your heart so that you can receive the Lord as before we go into this subject today. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to minister on the internet, on the airwaves, on the radio waves, so that people might be able to hear a message, be pricked in their hearts, and decide to operate with higher principles, the moral code that you have given us in your word. God, would you chasten us in the spirit? Would you direct us in our minds that we might conform more into looking like you instead of looking like the world? We trust you, God, to empower us. We trust you, God, to breathe on us, to keep us, that you allow us, God, to be lifted up by the power of your might. Let us be the example before the world in this dark, cold place. Let us be the light. Let us be the salt of the earth. Let us be the people that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Let us gladly say amen. Just would like to give a really quick announcement before we go. Actually, a couple announcements. One is we're very sorry about the last time we tried to air on the show. There were some technical difficulties. We worked them out. But thank you to all of you that tried to tune in spite of those technical difficulties. We worked them out, and thank you so much for giving us your time and attention today. Another thing, too, we just want to be, like, very diligent in thanking you for the ratings that you're giving us so far. Continue to chime in and let us know how these subjects are reaching your heart. We really would like to hear from you and find out how this subject matter is dealing with you in your life. Do you find it relevant, practical? Because it's going to help us to be able to minister in a very unique space to deal with topics that are very tough at times to address in our everyday Christian walk. Well, if we don't address it in the church, if we don't address it spiritually, understand that the world will address it physically. And if it's addressed physically without a spiritual adjustment or without some type of spiritual balance, then understand that only sin and wayward thinking and double-mindedness is our action. And so while we're talking about double-mindedness today, I want to talk on the subject, if you will, Independence Day. I was going to preach a sermon and make it more of a preachment, but today's show is going to kind of be a hybrid, because I have something very very deep and personal to actually discuss that I pray that it hit home that will allow us to look at how we conduct ourselves as Christians, as so-called people of God. How are we conducting ourselves? What type of message are we giving to the world as far as how we live in our lives? So let's just dig in really quick and look at this thing. We're over in Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Romans 6 and 15. We're going to go from 15 to 23. I'm going to read it really fast. So if you're out there and you're still turning in your Bibles, it's okay. When you get there, I'm going to actually read it aloud for you. Verse 15, starting at verse 10, reads, "What then?" I'm in the ESV version. "Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it's in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." In the month of July, we celebrate a very interesting day called Independence Day, the 4th of July. We go out, we barbecue our ribs, we go out and light fireworks, we go see different firework displays because we remember the historical times in which America became free, and we just celebrate this freedom. But I want to ask you today, what is freedom? What is this freedom that we're celebrating? Especially in the context of being me, I'm an African-American man. So let us look at different nationalities and ask, what is freedom? What is freedom for the Native American? What is freedom for the black man? What is freedom for those Japanese Americans who remember during the times of Pearl Harbor for 3 years being placed in prison camps? What about slavery for African-Americans? What about having your land totally taken away from you as a Native American? And so do these holidays still represent freedom? What is freedom? Well, many times we look at freedom in the context of what's physical and historical, but I submit to you today one of the things that I want to also ask you to do is look at freedom as far as what's spiritual. Let's transition from looking at things from just the natural, and now let's dig into the metaphysical. Spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is expressed in what you do, in whom you serve. So when we are outside of the context of salvation, understand that we are a slave to do what is contrary to God, which is sin. I was sharing with the congregation over at Center of Spirit and Truth, where I serve as the pastor, shameless plug, 11663 Arcola in Livonia, Michigan, where I serve a very intimate-sized congregation, intimate but mighty nonetheless. While we were there, we were sharing on a few points, and we were talking about whatever you are in bondage to, that is your bondsman, so to speak. That is whatever your sin is, you can actually name exactly what you're in bondage to. So if you're a person that go around lying, then you are a liar. If you're a person that go around cheating, you are a cheater. If you're a person that go around stealing, you are a thief. So that also is your bondage. And so as we begin to reflect on that, as we begin to look on that, we have to look at the type of independence that come through how we actually conduct ourselves in our lives. Here's a very convicting question I want to ask you as my brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Does everything about your life say that you belong to God? Whew. Do you have that freedom in your life from sin? Now, understand, I do understand you might say, Jose, wait a minute, I got to pause you right there because understand that, you know, the difference between a saint and a sinner is one is saved by faith through grace. Okay, I get you. It's not that we don't sin, but it's just that we submitted ourselves to Christ Jesus, and because we have sinned, that he covers our sin with his blood. Got it. I got that. But the reality is, when you plan to sin, when the intentions of your heart is to actually go out and sin, you are bonded to that sin. So now, again, I ask you, what part of your life is saying that you are submitting to Christ? The word Christ means, Christian, I'm sorry, means of Christ, like Christ, or belonging to Christ. Does what you do what you say, is what you're saying coming out of your mouth, the things that you're actually perpetrating, the deeds that you are doing, do they represent Christ? Do you have true spiritual freedom, or are you still bound? Today I'm convicted, people of God, because I told myself, I walked around in my piousness saying that, you know, I'm a man of God, I preach the word, and here I have a church, I have a flock that depends on me to hear from the Lord and go and speak what thus said the Lord. And I did that, I promise you, I do that with the best of my ability. But then on my job, I lied. How many of us have jobs that we go to that we say that we're working 8, 12, 16 hours, in reality, that we're actually working only half? Whew, that's convicting. How many of us are saying that we're honest Christians doing everything that God has called us to do and told us to do, and we're actually exemplifying to the best of our ability the word of God, but then we lie on our taxes? I was telling the church, I was sharing this, I said, how many of us get that phone call and when somebody that we don't want to talk to, we tell them I ain't here? Lie. So understand that even though these are what we might frame little white lies, the reality is it's still sin. And we operate in that context, and when we do it intentionally, understand that we are not spiritually free. You are not able to celebrate your independence because you've given that independence over to the enemy. You've given him a power that he's not designed to have over your life. So let us dig into the scripture, lest our time get too late, and let's hear from the Lord on this matter. The Bible says, are we to sin just because we're under the law? No. No, by no means. Exclamation point emphasis. It said, if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Either it's sin or it's going to be righteousness. Are you a slave or are you a slave to the enemy? The Bible teaches us that we cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. So are you a slave to material things? Is it the material things that you're striving for? Because when we lie on our taxes, isn't that really what we're striving to get? We want to get more money out of the government. So we have to stoop to the level of people who actually operate outside of a spiritual context so that we can get more stuff. I want a higher return. Isn't that what that's all about? When we're flossing, or when we're so-called flossing, because we know that everyone ain't who they supposed to be on Facebook, Instagram, social media. I don't know who you are if you're out there. Share this with somebody if that's that person. But understand that, you know, everybody not who they're supposed to be. We're flossing because we want to have some type of gain. The gain might just be attention. Attention seems to be the new drug nowadays. But meanwhile, if we're not operating in our truth, then we are a slave to the sin, because that sin is a lie. The Bible teaches us that the devil is the father of lies. So if he's the father of lies and we flow forward in those lies, then what does that make us? We are sin to. We are bound to those lies. We are bound to our sinful ways. Amen. It said, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, but you become obedient. What it means is that because we have allowed ourselves to be submitted to Christ Jesus and allow him to be our Savior, then we understand that something has happened. We've been transformed. The bondage have been broken from our lives. Yeah, see, I don't know what context you're living in or where you are, but God is saying that, listen, I have
set you free. The Bible teaches us that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you are free, you ought to live free, breathe free, think free. You ought to go forward with the power of the freedom that God has given you, because he's exonerated you from everything from the past. The Bible teaches us that he'll take those sins, throw them in the sea of forgetfulness, and it's not God who's going to continually remember the things that you had done wrong in the past. Oh, yeah, you used to be a liar. You used to be a cheater. You used to be a gambler. You used to be a drunk. You used to be a drug dealer. You used to be undesirable. You used to be all of these things. God said, I threw that in the sea of forgetfulness. It's not God who remembers. It's the enemy who says, hey, I remember when you used to hang out on the corner. I remember when you used to go to the clubs. I remember you when you used to wear your skirt up so high. I remember when your cleavage was falling out. I remember when you did lewd and lascivious conduct. I remember when you had one mate after another. It's the enemy that remembers, because he wants you to continually be bound, while God is saying he wants you to continually be free. The Bible says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may. Look over to the book of Job. When the devil came among the sons of God, God asked him, where you come from? He said, from walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. He was accusing brothers and sisters day by night. You know what he was actually doing? Trying to make them remember. Trying to help them be afflicted before God. Trying to accuse them so that they can receive penalty and punishment before God. Meanwhile, God was already in the process of working out your salvation. That's the reason why the Bible teaches us to come before him with fear and trembling as we work out our salvation, because God has already did it for you. Now watch this. So God is saying, I'm here to set you free. Huh? And so when he set you free, understand that, and I said this before to the congregation, just because you want to be free from something doesn't mean that something wants to be free from you. So here it is. You don't want to be bound. You're trying to escape. You're trying to get away. But that something is trying to come after you, pursue after you. When the Egyptians were in the wilderness, when they had escaped from out of Egypt, when the Egyptians let them go, here they were. It was about to cross the coast, and here comes Pharaoh pursuing after them. Understand that as they pursued, Moses said something very powerful. He said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians whom you see, you won't see again. You'll never see them again. God is trying to tell you in your situation, he wants you to be free, free from your lying ways, free from your cheating ways, free from your hanging out all night, free from your adultery, free from your drug addiction, free from anything that don't look like him, free from your foul tongue, free from the way that you think, free from the way that you used to hang out before. God wants you to be free from all of those things. So once he's released you, you need to be free indeed, because you have the opportunity, you have the choice, you have the option to serve. You get to choose whom you serve. How do I know? Flip back into the book of Genesis, you'll find that Cain was really upset because he felt like his offering was rejected, and meanwhile Abel's offering was accepted. So he walked around looking crazy, and God said, what's wrong with your face? What's wrong with you, Cain? So here it was, Cain began to complain, and God said, look, if you do right, you will be accepted too. But if you do wrong, sin lies at the door. Cain chose not to give God his best sacrifice. He chose to be enslaved to the sin that was in his heart. We walk around telling people that God knows my heart. Yes, he does know your heart. He knows your lying tongue, and regardless of what it looks like on the outside, you are not free if you're still operating in a sinful context. God sees beyond what's on the outside, so meanwhile, while you dressing it up, while you shirking and jerking and running up and down the aisleway and speaking in tongues, and while you falling out in church, while you being fake with your fake smile and your fake self and looking down your nose on everybody else, God sees the content of your heart. And that's not spiritual freedom. That is not the freedom that God desired for us to have. So go a little bit further. It says that, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart and standard of teaching which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now, when you have decided to give your life to Christ Jesus, it shouldn't be you looking back. I hear so many people say, she almost made me lay down my religion. Somebody cut you off, you want to cuss them up and down like they anything but a child of God. And in those instances, those old ways are calling to us to try to slip back and fall into where we were. Is this your Independence Day? Because if you've been set free, there ought to be some signs. There ought to be some changes. There ought to be something about you that exhibits a person who is free. I submit to you today, if you look at someone who was in captivity and someone who's been set free, if they are truly free, then there should be a difference in their paradigm, a difference in their context, a difference in how they carry themselves. A person free should not conduct themselves the same as if he was in bondage. And truthfully, if somebody has sentenced you to life and death, you were sentenced to live a life sentence in prison, about 20 years, and then after 20 years, you were sentenced to be executed. But along come the governor or along come some kind of authority that says you've been set free, you've been released. There ought to be something inside of you that rejoices, that shouts. There ought to be something inside of you that says, I've been rescued, I've been set free. And so now that you've been set free, there's something about you that should not want to go back into your bondage. There should be something about you that operates in the context of freedom. Oh, if I had the opportunity, but when I sat in front of the investigators that was asking me about the different resources that I had misappropriated, I would have once told the truth. And then if I could rewind just a little bit further, if I had an opportunity, I would not have done it in the first place. I allowed myself to think that because in this culture, many people are misappropriating or misusing the government. Resources. So I'm just another number. I'm just another person in the crowd. But the reality is, although you're just another number who's lying on your taxes or not giving your best effort with the job that God has blessed you with, the reality is we're not exhibiting the Word of God. I failed in exhibiting the Word of God, people. And so I want to tell you that if that's you, change your context. You have an opportunity to either be free or be a slave, because as we lie and we operate, we become a slave. He said, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawless leading to more lawless. I understand that lawless leading to more lawless, because it's like a slippery slope. You do one thing one time and you're like, oh my goodness, that's horrible. Then you do it again, and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. You do it again, they weren't really looking this time. You do it again, nobody really cares. And then before long, you're in so much of a slippery slope that you don't realize that you're not even thinking about how much of a slave you really are. You become saturated in slavery. I have to criticize the food industry, and I dare to do that, because many of us find ourselves thinking about food in a way that other people want us to think about food. We don't think about food as being addictive. We don't think about sugar as being addictive or stimulating us greater than what certain drugs stimulate us. We don't think about it in that context, because we allow people to shape and mold our thinking for us, and you become just another number. And when you fall so deep into this way of thinking that you're not even thinking that you are a slave to bad health activities. You are letting your health slip away from you. You are diabetic. You have congestive heart failure, but you're continuing on this slippery slope. Same thing with how we think about the law. We break the laws. We transgress against God's rules. And because everybody else is doing it, because it's a popular thing to do, is because society is doing it, then we fall into this slippery slope. Everyone in my atmosphere, everyone in my surrounding is doing it. Everybody's doing it. Y'all remember that from the 80s? When people were trying out sex and children was having kids was having kids and things like that, everybody's doing it. That was the context that we would actually, the excuses that we would give. But that was the excuse for us to continue to slip in that slippery slope. That's why I said lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. So now present yourself as slave to righteousness. How far did that slippery slope get you before? How did that work out for you, huh? Now you need to ask yourself, I need to serve something greater. I need to serve something better. I need to serve my God. Verse 20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You were free because you only were serving God. You were serving what was right. You wasn't bound to sin. You wasn't bound to a certain identifier or a certain title, but you were free because of God. It said, but what fruit were you getting at that time of which things of which you are now ashamed? Ain't it funny how when you come out on the other side, when you've been transformed, you look back and you see what you had been serving all of that time, and then that a shame attaches to you. You ashamed of where you come from. You ashamed of the things that you have done. I'm trying to wake somebody up today, because when you finally wake up from the mess that you in and look around and see the dirt that you got on you, and once God cleans you off and you look back in that mud pile, you're going to feel some shame. Oh, God, because of where we come from. So for the end of those things is death. Only place serving sin can lead you. Only place serving the enemy can lead you is to death. And that's why the last two verses kind of really drive this home. But now that you have been set free from sin, have become slaves of God, now you, God is whom you serve. He paid the price for you. He allowed you to be free. He shed his blood so that you can have freedom in him. So now we become slaves of God. That's actually a good expression. It said the fruit that you get leads to sanctification, and it's in eternal life. If we just believe in him, the gift of God is eternal life. We get eternal life, eternal security, eternal freedom, eternally in his presence, eternally in bliss instead of eternally in bondage to sin, or eternally in punishment, or eternally in penalty. We get the opposite. We get eternal life and security. But the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, my brothers and sisters. How do you wish to pay? So we look at freedom on the outside in an external context, as far as what's physical, as far as having your mobility limited, not being able to go and do whatever you want to do. But how many times as Christians do we actually look at freedom in the context of our spirituality? Because, yes, you can be saved, but, yes, you can still operate in the context of ignorance. You can still operate in the context of sinfulness. There are carnal Christians, which means that you've been converted, you received Christ as Lord and Savior, but you still carnal. You still choose to do what you choose to do. And I believe that is the reason why the Bible says that, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Are you reprobate? Are you a slave? While you're popping your firecrackers, while you're actually eating your barbecue ribs on the 4th of July every year, are you truly free? What does it mean to be free? Have you submitted yourself to Christ Jesus in such a way that you've chosen, or you chose to completely submit to him in all things? You chose to submit to him even when you're filing your taxes. You chose to submit to him even when you're coming home at night to your spouse. You chose to submit to him even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's not popular, even when nobody is looking at you. Don't be like me. If God blessed you with a wonderful job, and now in this context, use that resource to just give God his glory and have true independence in every walk of your life. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for all that you've allowed us to experience today. I pray that we are able to take this message and allow it to chastise our minds, chastise our deeds, allow us, God, to be able to examine ourselves so that we will truly have independence. We know that you set us free. We trust and believe it so that we may be free indeed. Now, God, strengthen us to continually cleave unto your principles and your word. Help us to truly be independent so that the enemy does not have the victory. We trust you and we believe, God. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Let us gladly say amen. Thank you for joining us again with Theologically Speaking, Jose.